gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, of course it's time to feel good. It's like old home week, my house husband's home. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
There he is, David Bender.
Fresh from my house. Fresh good morning, house. David Bender.
Good morning. Why did you pour vodka in my coffee this morning?
Because I'm trying to sabotage you. I quit drinking. Whatever.
Oh, my God.
I knew it tasted a little
you
funny.
You quit drinking?
No, he did.
Oh,
I'm being ridiculous.
Okay.
You know, what was that old line on Friends, Aisha Tyler Show? I'm on a break, and she's been like, well, here, try a little of this.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll have jam on the toast, and the jam tastes a little funny. You know, it's because it's got bourbon in it.
She poured rubbing alcohol in it.
She did. It was for my ligaments.
Yeah.
We're a 50s couple. We have to have cocktails. Okay. All right. Oh, speaking of Aisha Tyler, Saturday we will be at the Detroit Opera House in Detroit for the Sexy Liberal Show along with John Fugelsang. Tickets going very fast. Go to sexyliberal.com. And guess what, Chris?
What?
Yeah. Yep, we made, what is this one? Radio Equalizer, Aisha and I.
Oh, really?
We're the kids that need to be separated in class. Yeah. I instinctively know whenever she's here that we're either going to get on Newsbusters or on Radio Equalizer.
How come this didn't ping my Miller Google News alert?
I don't know. Here's the headline. LibTalk promotes violence for fun and profit.
Violent lefty LibTalkers.
Yeah, you see what she does to me? Mm-hmm. See? For our quote-unquote progressive friends, they write, this is Brian, that guy, Maloney, that's had a radio show once that you could hear in your
failed feelings. Talk show host, Brian Mulroney?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes.
For our progressive, quote-unquote, they always put that in quotes.
Right.
Friends, advocating violence against enemies isn't just politically useful, it's also funny and even profitable.
Sure.
Yes, when we say something really, really sickening, it can go on a T-shirt and make us money. Well, just FYI, Brian, GTK. The thing that went on a T-shirt is not violent, it's just funny, and also endorsed recently by Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who confirmed that when they do brain surgery, oftentimes you are awake, so that if they hit the wrong part, you go, boogie, boogie, cheese!
Wait a minute.
And that's how you know.
He's upset about boogity, boogity, cheese?
No, that's the... No. But no.
Oh.
No, he's upset about something else, she said.
Oh, okay. I see.
But just for the record, that's the only one that's not a T-shirt. I want to put on my boogity, boogity, cheese T-shirt. Boogity, boogity, okay. He says from today's, that was 2 days ago,
sure.
Stephanie Miller Show, watch as alleged actress. Alleged? Well, let's see your acting resume, Brian Maloney, or whatever his name is. Maloney.
Did he have a part on the number one sitcom?
Alleged actress? Listen, don't be coming after my best friend. You can say whatever you want about my radio career, but alleged actress? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps Brian played, Ross's girlfriend on Friends. Maybe. Alleged actress.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hmm. Alleged actress / would-be comedian. You didn't. Aisha Tyler calls for Rush Limbaugh's death via immolation. And then he puts the soundbite there. It was a joke. I don't think there's a much chance he will actually self-immolate.
Wasn't she just saying that Rush is hot?
I think that's what she meant.
That's what she meant.
Brian Mulroney doesn't have a sense
Maloney.
Of humor. Whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have a sense of humor, does he?
I don't think so. All right.
He must be a miserable...
I knew that was going to get me in trouble. I think it was just she was just, you know...
He must be a miserable person to be around.
Hmm. I don't think there's much more chance that Rush Limbaugh will self-immolate than Michelle Malkin will be kicked in the nutsack by Aisha Tyler. That was the last one that got
at the Beverly Center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it that Herman Cain said? Can't America just take a joke? It was Herman Cain who wants us all to laugh.
Yes, we're taking your candidacy.
His crappy pizza is a joke.
Sure. All right. You know what? Let's freshen things up, shall we?
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Frisch, 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 frisch. Frisch. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. Maybe you guys can help with my confusion. I haven't been watching much cable news lately, yes. And I keep on hearing that the Republicans were hanging out at an Iowa gay bar, the straw poll.
Hey! Hi!
Yeah, for some of them, it may be... A little closer to home than we think.
Yeah. You know, I was on CNN.
Worse yet, they had to pay for it?
Yeah, I know. By the way, do you have to pay to get into Paul Ryan's town hall? Do you have to pay to boot Paul Ryan now at his town halls this summer?
Is that right? Are they charging the Paul Ryan meetings?
Yeah. He doesn't have a free town hall meeting this entire summer.
No, they're $15 ahead. Yeah. And he's going to dangle it in front of Medicare recipients and say, neener, I have $15 and I'm taking your Medicare.
Yeah, I love this. He's now thinking of running for president based on what, the overwhelmingly positive reaction to his plan to destroy Medicare?
No, he's basing his campaign for president on the wet dreams of 20-something conservatives.
Yes, and Munsters fans.
Hey, Carl, did you hear that it's actually also Jeb Bush and Mitch Daniels who are pushing Paul Ryan now?
Really?
Yeah.
So what is John Huntsman going to do with that endorsement from Jeb Bush?
Apparently it wasn't working out.
Carl,
well,
I got to
put out that cryptic statement saying he had a big announcement for Monday last week. Everybody thought he was going to pull out of the election, and he just announced that Jeb Bush was endorsing him.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. And did I mention I was in a band called Wizard? All right. That's all we
got. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Carl, I was on CNN this weekend and is saying basically, I don't know why we're paying so much attention. No one ever actually wins that wins this crazy Iowa straw poll. And then I read a Carl Frisch piece that sums it up beautifully. For those of you that don't remember the fun facts, you say, let's face it, Iowans do little to prove their sanity when it comes to these Republican straw polls. It's as if they go out of their way to give a lift to the most extreme, unelectable nuts among their ranks. And you go back and do the, I'd forgotten, so 1979... Reagan lost to Bush Sr., who would be his future vice president. 1987, Pat Robertson won. The third straw poll in Iowa, Phil Graham, tied Bob Dole with Pat Buchanan coming in a close second. You're saying the anomaly was George W. Bush won the Iowa straw poll. You said it hasn't happened before or since.
Right. Unless Bachman thinks that she's going to pull a George Bush, and I don't think anybody thinks that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, the one common denominator that they all have is that the person who wins has bought their winning, and then rounding out the top three or four are just these crazy nut jobs.
My favorite is your description of Gary Bauer, who was also in the top tier there. You said he's the nearly forgotten Gollum-looking creature, looking culture warrior, who's best remembered for falling off a stage in Iowa while flipping pancakes.
Yep. Aww. Flip backward all the way over.
I mean, he looked more like a turtle than Phil Graham.
Yeah. Or Peter Lorre, some weird, creepy cross that just looks like I don't know, he has sex with dead people. Anyway.
My actual favorite was that John McCain, last time in 2007, leading into 2008, came in 10th out of 11.
10th out of 11 at the Iowa straw poll, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Tom Tancredo, you know, the Republican Party's token, or I guess he's not a token, he's pretty, common, anti-immigrant bigot racist, came in fourth.
Well, you say
things for what they are.
Right. You say, so should we be surprised that Tea Party darlings Bachman and Ron Paul did so well this month? Central casting couldn't have created a better suited pair for the deranged Iowa straw pollers. And I love, because I got in trouble for saying Ron Paul was unelectable this weekend. You say there's Paul's whose solution to every problem from potholes to the economy is sprinkling of libertarian magic dust.
Mm-hmm.
I had forgotten. Go ahead.
He is... And I did. Tom Hartman has this cable TV show that I did this week, and I started getting hate mail as well when I said, there's this movement right now called Blue Republicans, where they're trying to get Blue Republicans, where they're trying to get Democrats to re-register as Republicans in closed primary states to vote for Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, if you're a purist about the war, that's one thing, but please be a purist against racism and homophobia, because Ron Paul is maybe he's not a racist, but his political philosophy is racist.
Sure.
He's against the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and he needs to publish a newsletter that had virulently racist, homophobic content in it every single issue.
By the way, this was one of my favorites that I had missed during, because I was obviously here during the 1992 Los Angeles riots. He wrote, order was only restored in L.A. when it came time for the blacks to pick up their welfare checks. Yikes.
Right, and that's the guy that all these people are clamming over.
Yeah.
Now, most of the time, these hate letters or emails that I get from Paul Tards about that.
Now, you see, there's another one. Now, hello, Brian Maloney, did you get that? All right, go ahead.
Paul Botts.
I believe that the Tard part is a leotard. I believe that they all wear leotards and
all
right. clothes.
Okay.
Well said.
Like superheroes. Very good. Nicely saved.
And Marcus Bachmann picks them out, right?
Yes.
But they always say... That was in the 90s. That's almost 20 years ago.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm like, well, what has he done to dissuade us from the idea that he's not a bigot? I mean, last year alone, he went further than his own son, Rand Paul, and said that he would have voted entirely against the entire 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
So,
you know. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, Karl Rove still kicking around.
Yeah.
All right. Karl Rove on the president.
Barack Obama, when he ran for president in 2008, wrote a book. And in that book, he first of all attributed to me a comment that I never made, which was that we are a Christian nation. I find that remark offensive. We're based on the Judeo-Christian ethic. We derive a lot from it. But what, if you say we're a Christian nation, what about the Jews? What about the Muslims? What about the non-believers? I mean, one of the great things about our country is the First Amendment guarantees you the right to believe or not to believe, as you choose.
What?
Wow, what the? Wow. That's a shot across Rick Perry's bow.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Across his brow? Or
bow, pardon me. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting hearing Karl Rove talk all kinds of common sense lately.
Yeah.
You know, he basically came out this week and said that he's really worried that the Republican candidates have gone crazy and that they'll be too crazy to win the general election. I tend to agree with him.
What's with this crazy, arrogant cowboy from Texas that thinks God wants him to be president?
Yeah,
whoever elects someone like
Karl
that?
Karl Rove calls you crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is coming from a guy that said that we were going to, you know, that his boss that he put in the White House wanted to lead a crusade against you know, folks in the Muslim world.
Use the word crusade, actually.
Yeah, good choice, choice. All right, Carl, that's a bad mistake.
No.
Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar as we continue 18 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Carl Frisch and Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, that's me.
Diva!
I am the diva.
Diva!
You better roll out the red
carpet.
All right.
I get it.
What?
You just went through to find the gayest song because we're having the Republican gay candidate for president on. And hour number three, Fred Karger.
Well, that wasn't...
Well, because we will allow him to play in our reindeer games. The Republicans will not.
Let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Nope, he's not there at the none of the debates.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's all about. Do you?
No.
Carl Frisch in the sidecar. Carl, why?
Chris
why?
And Steph. Chris and Steph, that's my jam. I heard that for the first time at that gay bar in Iowa, the Iowa Straw Bowl in 2000.
All right. It's right next to the corn dog, in between the corn dog and the manhole. Right?
There's bars.
Uh-huh. Ooh. What?
Actually, the manhole is the gay bar.
I know.
In
actually,
Chicago.
It is.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, dear God. Andrea Tantaros. I've debated her several times.
Right-wing velociraptor?
Yes. I need Gackaway when I debate Andrea Tantaros. I'm just because she's a little mean. Okay, Andrea Tantaros.
So this is a pack of 30 teens that robbed a Germantown, Maryland 7-Eleven store, and these flash mobs are popping up all over. They're forcing Mayor Michael Nutter of Philadelphia. He had to oppose a stricter curfew for those 18 and under.
I
think Obama's rhetoric, the violent rhetoric and class warfare rhetoric, causes these flash mobs. What do you think?
Oh, you see? You see how that goes?
Violent
Black
rhetoric?
President, flash mobs. Flash mobs, Carl. Black president.
Violent?
You know, whenever you play her, you almost make me want to get you fined by the FCC.
Bring it.
She is just an ignorant. She's beyond ignorant. I can't. Whenever I say I can't believe Fox would do something.
Right.
Yeah,
that's not even dog whistle racist, is it? Flash mobs of teens robbing places because of Obama's rhetoric.
Violent rhetoric.
Wow. Yeah.
They saw him with his hip hop party over
his hip hop barbecue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When is the president?
The black presidents, they like the hip hop and the barbecue.
Yeah. When has the president said anything remotely violent?
Yeah.
I believe she's quoting him when he said, look, if you'd like to go rob places, just use your cell phone to coordinate your activities.
I encourage flash mobs.
It never happened.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
If anything, right. The policies of the Republicans keeping people down and not letting them get jobs.
Exactly.
Is more likely to create people who do petty theft.
Yeah. Okay. That was as awful as I thought it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to take extra gack away when I have to show up, particularly on set with her, as I have sometimes.
I'm actually in the shower right now as we talk.
Sorry.
Ew.
Yeah. Because I'll be seated next to her and I'll just be like, yeah, no. Hi, Andrea. Good to see you.
Do you have a Ustream there, Carl?
No.
All right. Greg Gutfield on the five.
Here They're not coming up with souvenirs that fit Obama, like you need a food stamp wallet. Mm-hmm. That would be nice. Or Obama. Or you know, because there are millions and millions of people on food stamps right now. So that would be nice.
Yeah.
And
that's also, what, it's
what about Obama sweatpants? Something you wear while you're unemployed.
Oh, okay.
Was that me, or is that kind of in the same vein?
Yeah.
Same vein, but it's, you know, it's an attempt at humor.
Yeah.
And this is why right-wing humor never works.
Yes.
Right.
That's why there's no sexy right-wing tour.
Okay. If you want to talk about, food stamps, you want to know which state has the most number of people on food stamps?
Yes, which one?
Texas.
The Texas miracle.
Yeah, there's a Texas miracle.
The great job creation.
The Texas miracle is not, it's more like the miracle on 34th Street. They're both fictional stories.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
Kraft Foods is going to launch a new Oreo. It's a triple-double Oreo. What is going to be here, it's actually a biracial cookie.
How did I know he was going there?
You've got three of the chocolate wafers, and then you've got the white vanilla the cream, and then there's a chocolate cream, the triple double Oreo. You wait, it isn't gonna be long before it's gonna be called the Orbamio or something like this.
Chris, is this an old racist version of right-wing world?
You'd think so, right?
And then they've got this marshmallow stuff. I mean, even when he's salivating over cookies and candies, he cannot avoid being racist.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar for a skosh more right-wing world after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, we really should have spaced out your vaccinations.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little woozy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch remains because we've been too chatty, so we're making him stay the whole day.
Yay!
Uh-huh.
Yay!
Carl Frisch from Bullfight Strategies. Okay, Megyn Kelly on the Fox News.
I want to ask you if you agree with our former President Bill Clinton. Do you think that he's a good-looking rascal?
It's so interesting that that's how President Clinton chose to weigh in on him, and then he really speaks a lot of nonsense. But just the term, he's a good-looking rascal.
I'm just going to puke if I hear any more of this Rick Perry. Oh, he's good-looking scamp.
Well,
he is horrible, and he's stick.
I think when Bill Clinton said...
I mean, look at the crowd of people they're judging his beauty against.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, whenever they come out with that list of the hottest members of Congress, I'm like, really?
He's no Chris Christie.
You're like taking a handful of people out of a room full of octogenarians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when Bill Clinton said that, there was
the rascal part.
Well, the rascal part, but there was kind of like an unsaid bless his heart in there.
Well, yeah. It was sarcastic. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's exactly bless his heart. I mean, bless his heart is usually the setup for a takedown.
Right.
In this case, rascal meaning right-wing lunatic fringe, but sure.
Right.
Okay. Glenn Beck.
I am going to come out and ask you straight up. I have 4 years ago, I think we had about 6 or 8 employees. I now have 92 employees.
Oh, boy.
I need about 150 journalists working for me before we can really, truly rock the world. But that takes a lot of money. I do not want outside investors. My model is to go directly to you and ask you for GBTV, if you would sign up for GBTV.com. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Oh, that's I want sad. My GBTV.
You guys hold on. I got to do that right now.
That is so sad.
Wow. That's a little. That really is. That is.
Good God.
He's begging.
And did you hear the beginning of that where he says, I just want to come out? And then there was a pause, and I was going, oh,
like,
my
what?
God.
Oh,
what's he
going
to say?
No, never mind.
Many Mormons do.
Exactly.
It's just fascinating to hear him groveling like that. I mean, and who wants to, you know, I've heard of pay-per-view. Who wants paper crazy? It's not surprising. I mean, it's as if he's got, like, size envy with Fox. He's now bragging about the number of employees he has.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Carl Frisch, thanks for staying with us. Love ya. Mean it. Miss you already.
Have a good week.
All right. See you next week. Here we go.
Bye, Carl.
Bye. Yeah, this is, you know, you've been talking about Rick Perry for a while, David.
I have been, sadly.
Sadly for you. He has debuted at 18% in New Hampshire, Romney at 36% there.
Well, but he is also number one in national polls. The new national poll out
really?
Shows Rick Perry has gone ahead of Mitt Romney nationally.
And he's ahead of Barack Obama in a matchup, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and again, right now, any polls taken, remember this, if you go back four mm-hmm. years in time, Barack Obama was losing to Hillary Clinton right. by 20 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if people taking polls now
sure.
have no short-term memory.
Right.
Or
right.
actually long-term memory.
Yeah.
Or any memory
right.
at all.
Right. Well, I don't because of the Chardonnay.
Well, there's that. And stop pouring
remember.
It in my coffee!
I don't remember what we even talked about last night. But okay.
I have a transcript.
Yeah. Here's yet another headline today, which is what we've been talking about, David, that this Republican Party has moved so far to the right. I mean, literally, it's like they're running for the bottom. For the, mm-hmm. like the Perry says he doesn't believe in global warming. I mean, you're just... It's a race to the bottom of, like, dumb. Of just, no, I'm dumber and I'm crazier. Like, this is, yeah. Do we have that?
Yeah, we have
hang
that.
On.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, our climate's changed. They've been changing for ever since the Earth was formed.
Oh, okay.
But I do not buy into that a group of scientists who have, in some cases, found to be manipulating this information.
No.
It's been...
Oh, Michelle Bachman says, yes, that's right, Rick. Yeah. Ever since that Paul Revere tried to warn the dinosaurs when they were
It's been changing walking. Ever since the Earth was formed 4,000 years ago. That's these people. And remember, it is Texas
yeah.
that imposed these standards of learning on our kids. And Rick Perry is a great example of what happens when you don't go to school.
Yes.
You know,
well,
and,
they're
and
last
he's,
in education in
well,
Texas.
And he's
dead
really,
last.
They are dead last. And he's yeah. really proud of the fact that the difference between him and George W. Bush is Bush went to Yale.
Right. Exactly. I went to Texas A&M. It's like, okay. What that means. I was a whole different kind of Yale leader. I was a different sort of cheerleader.
Yeah.
He was also a cheerleader.
Did you hear Paul Begala calling him crotch?
Yes.
Yes.
I love that nickname.
Yes. Well, he does look like he's not just standing on. He is going to that haystack.
There it is.
Show it who's who and what's what.
That's a straw poll.
Mm-hmm. He said exactly the definition of straw poll.
Oh, boy.
He said, I think we're seeing, did you hear what he said, weekly, almost daily scientists coming forward questioning? No, we're not.
No.
What the hell is he talking about? Coming forward, questioning the original idea, blah, 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 blah. His opinion, I love they always have to include this in an actual news story. Perry's opinion runs counter to the view held by an overwhelming majority of scientists. Perry's home state of Texas releases, here's something else he is that he's number one in. Mm. In fact, get my cheerleaders ready. Get my other yell leaders ready. Perry's home state of Texas releases more heat-trapping pollution, carbon dioxide, the cheap greenhouse gas than any other state in the country.
How about that?
Yay! For number one. This is sad. John Huntsman, Newt Gingrich, and Mitt Romney, who all at one point supported steps to curb global warming pollution, have since had to temper their stances as this party moves to the lunatic right. But unlike Perry, both Romney and Huntsman acknowledge the scientific evidence, which now is a detriment to you in the Republican primary.
Well, this works really well if you believe the Earth is flat.
Yes.
Because if you keep moving all the way to the right, you'll fall off.
Yes, exactly, eventually.
And that's great. And then you can go swimming in space.
But only if Governor Christie falls off does it make a sound. Just for those of you scientifically.
Ooh. 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 All right. Oh, Chris.
David Bender, what is the deal with that? Because that was all the buzz yesterday that Christie is getting in. The Governor Soros. Who is our friend,
the Governor
John
Soros?
Alter.
Did you just say that? The Governor Soros. I love that.
That's right, Radio Equalizer. Write that down.
That's a powerful sound. He's a powerful man.
Yes, yeah. Well, that was the big headline
takes
yesterday.
Takes a lot of power to to power that.
To take a helicopter.
Yes.
With
your...
the government, with taxpayer money.
Exactly.
Sure, to your kid's baseball game.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan Alter said that they were doing focus groups that included him. And that
he
was,
said, originally, my sources say New Jersey Governor Christie is conducting focus groups in preparation for a possible run. Alter then reported a source close to the governor said there's no truth to that.
It's not true.
Commit suicide.
What was happening? Forget about it.
I'm not running.
What happened was...
What do I need to do? Vaporize into the cop thing to prove that I'm not running?
They threw his name into the focus group so they could get attention to the focus group.
Yeah.
And guess what? It worked.
A source tells CNN that pressure on Christie to run has been ratcheting up since the Iowa straw poll last weekend. I know he's getting tons of calls and pressure is ratcheting up, but as far as I know, his head is still where it's always been.
Don't go there.
Why are people even discussing this? Obama is more popular in New Jersey than Chris Christie.
Well, I mean, but this just goes to show you, David, how strong a candidate is Rick Perry when they're like already like, oh, isn't that, hey, maybe Chris Christie will run.
Well, what could happen out of this, though, by the way, is they'll push really hard. He won't go, but there'll be a lot of buzz about putting him on the ticket. And there is an argument. New Jersey will be a swing state, and if, in fact...
Well, particularly, if he's in the swing, it's going to...
If he's in the swing, it'll be swinging.
It's a lot of swing.
So he actually would balance a a Rick Perry on the seesaw.
Really?
I want that image to go down.
Rick Perry, that would... Yikes, that would not end well for him.
Ooh, wait a minute. Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah.
An Acme seesaw. Mm-hmm.
All right. Wow, this is just getting to be a crazy time. Michelle Bachman says she'll get gas under $2. You betcha.
Okay. Right. Does she explain how?
She says the day that the president became president, gasoline was $1.79 a gallon. Look at it, what it is today under President Bachman. You'll see gasoline come down below $2 a gallon. That'll happen.
Does she say how?
No, Julie in Seattle posits that maybe she's going to, she said, what is she going to do, go Bush one better and offer the corn dog treatment to those Saudi princes? Not just the tongue in the ear, but maybe the corn dog. If you saw her eat that corn dog, she might just send that picture to the Saudi princes and say, imagine what I could do for you for $2 gas.
Yeah, she could also send Marcus, two for one.
Is that drill, baby, drill?
I think so.
It is. It's drill, baby, drill.
Yeah, she didn't say how she would cut the price of gasoline, which, as we all know, is tied to the global price of oil. And she mentioned the prospect of oil shale development in the western states, because that, of course, would make the price plummet immediately of gas. Oil shale was her sort
so
of...
She wants to frack Iowa.
Yes. Okay. Well, pretty much just the whole Midwest. Why not?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
And if she wins, we are all fracked.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, David Bender. All right. Why the zingers are flying? Because we've returned to Benda. 45 minutes.
There goes another zinger.
I'm just saying, who does Governor Christie balance on the ticket? That seesaw. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I get it. My house husband's here, so I'm just hearkening back to my dry humping my high school boyfriend, Tommy. Yeah. Okay, 49. Sipping Jenny cream ale. All right, 49 until my dad walked in. All right, 49 minutes after.
Now it's Bailey's cream ale. There's a different entity in my coffee again.
Have some Harvey's Crystal Cream.
Here it
is. Since we're going back to the 70s.
Can I do a shout-out? It's something I've always wanted to say my entire life.
Yes.
Hello, Cleveland!
Woo! We have a new affiliate in Cleveland, ladies and gentlemen.
WABQ.
AM 1460.
How about that? Hello, Cleveland. I've always wanted to say that.
Yeah, I say I yell that backstage at every sexy liberal show, no matter where we are, just because it's very Spinal
and
Tap.
You know what? Cleveland is pretty darn close to
and
Detroit.
And we get lost backstage almost every place we are, like Spinal Tap.
Let me say it again. Cleveland is pretty close to Detroit.
I know.
So maybe some of the people from WABQ.
Detroit! This Saturday, sexy liberal show, John Fugel saying Aisha Tyler and I, come on down! Also, people are speculating all over the place about who the really, really, really big name is that's coming.
I could say.
No, you cannot say.
Oh, I guess I couldn't.
Shut your pie hole.
There have been a few guesses on your Facebook page.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Okay, well.
I won't say whether they were right or wrong.
We will see.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
Exactly, exactly. Wow! Just when you think things aren't scary enough, aren't bad enough in this economy, what the heck? Brain-eating amoeba kills third victim.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Speaking of the 70s, this is like Jaws time. This is like, there's going to be amoeba weeks, not just shark weeks on Discovery anymore.
I actually think that is Michelle Bachmann. Is a brain.
It's got to be a Republican.
Brain-eating amoeba. That may explain a lot of this stuff, right?
You know
that's
what?
That's what's going on.
A lot of the Republican candidates' brains may already have been eaten by the amoeba. Now we know.
Yeah. So don't go swimming in lakes and
just when you thought it was safe to dive into a straw pole.
No.
Don't do it. They'll eat your brain.
God, I see Richard Dreyfuss.
There's no global warming. Sorry. The founding fathers ended slavery.
Roy Scheider is throwing chum over the over the side of the boat, and all of a sudden, brain eating amoeba comes up. And
we're gonna need a bigger boat for these brainless Republicans for the next primary. Look out, Rick Perry's in.
Wait! It's Chris Christie.
Well, listen, it would take a long time to eat.
Chris.
How long would it take a school of piranhas to eat Chris Christie? Do you
this
think?
Is a math test,
you
isn't
see,
it?
You see, Equalizer. I'm not saying he should be.
How long would it take a brain-eating amoeba to eat Sarah Palin's
brain? By the way,
brain?
Aisha Tyler, she wasn't wishing that Rush Limbaugh would catch on fire. I mean, how would that even happen unless you were walking across carpeting in corduroys? I mean, how would you even self-immolate? Oh, heavens, radio equalizer. Just saying. All right.
By the way, that event with Aisha is already up on her Wikipedia page.
Oh, yes. What does it say?
It says, in January of 2008, she participated in a video for Barack Obama produced by Will.i.am called
really?
Yes, We Can.
Really
yes,
good
we
one.
Can.
In August 2011, she called for conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh to catch on fire.
Mm-hmm. And there's a through line.
Getting past that Wikipedia.
Well, you can change the Wikipedia if you don't believe that Paul Revere wasn't really riding the way he was riding. If you're intent on recreating history, just go on Wikipedia and make it up. You gotta
love
that.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I don't. The story is just two children and a young man have died this summer from a brain-eating amoeba that lives in water.
Yep. And
the amoeba gets up the nose, burrows up into the skull, and destroys brain tissue. It's found in warm lakes and rivers during the hot summer months, mostly in the South. I wonder if Pat Robertson will have anything to say about that.
That was Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Yes, where the earwig went in one
it
ear.
It was.
Yeah.
Khan!
Uh-huh.
I remember
That's
this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, life is just... Because when you heard of the Bachmans, you're like going... He buys her pantsuits? Wait a minute. They stole it. They owe Christopher Guest money. They stole that from Waiting
right.
for Guffman.
You are absolutely right. Hey, you were talking to Harry Shearer yesterday.
Yes.
And he said something, and I love Harry Shearer. Yep. Guy is brilliant. Yep. Spinal Tap. All of these movies. He's absolutely brilliant. And by the way, what he's done about New Orleans is actually an incredible thing.
Yeah, his film is incredible. You got to see it.
Yep. But he was wrong about something.
Uh-oh.
Because he said that the Republicans always nominate the next guy in line. It's John McCain. And that's
it's
why
always
he
like
thinks
Romney will be
Mitt
safe.
Romney.
Right.
And if that were true, your father would have been the nominee in 1968.
Yeah.
It would have been him, not
Richard
Nixon.
I think I still would have ended up with a fart joke radio show. I don't know. I think I would always, I'd be, you know.
So just for the record, the Republicans don't always do that. And I got to tell you, I think Mitt Romney is going to do exactly what he did last time, which is come in second.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the, what's the headline? Romney's Perry strategy, don't panic. Why do I think there's sheer white-knuckle panic, though, behind the scenes? At the Romney camp. You know, he always looks like clip art, so of course he doesn't look like he's panicking. How would you be able to tell?
Right.
Would his hair move? Rick Perry menacing the Republican frontrunner in a way that other candidates have been unable to do. You wouldn't know that from listening to Romney or his backers. It's not they don't take Perry seriously. Rather, Romney supporters believe the Bay Staters tortoise-like strategy will play to one of his essential strengths, durability over the long haul.
Durability. Built to last. So Romney.
They've been gentle. They're treating Rick Perry like a little kitten.
He's going to run over them. Like a cheetah.
Yeah, well, because he's nasty. Yeah, yes. That's what you've said. He's a bruising campaigner.
What he did to Kay Bailey Hutchison is actually illegal in 14 states. I mean,
He treated her pretty ugly down in Texas.
He did. Treat him pretty
Bernanke,
ugly.
Bernanke'd her.
And she was Bernanke'd. This is the sitting U.S. senator, challenged him in a primary. They all thought, actually, he was in big trouble, and he took her on and decked her.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen, frankly, not only with Mitt Romney, but with Michelle Bachmann.
I love some of these lines. I don't know where the story is, but Mitt Romney's record on job creation as an entrepreneur is far more impressive to Republicans than any government-aided job creation. So, they're already taking shots at each other because those are mostly state jobs that he created. I mean, like you said, there is no Texas miracle. So
exactly. Well, we were watching it last night. Is that actually they lost private sector jobs under Rick Perry. The gain in jobs comes from, wait for it, public sector.
Listen to this, though. Another political strategy. Ultimately, Republicans want someone who's going to win the general election. I would imagine the Democratic National Committee is salivating at the chance to run against Governor Perry. We have to win the election, not just nominate someone who's going to be a sacrificial lamb. This is a Romney supporter. Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, he is much more extreme, and I wonder if that's obviously a lot better. In most of the polling, those people, Charlie Cook, 538, they do the matchups, Romney is much more
See, able this to is beat, the exact same thing. It was the argument that was made about George Herbert Walker Bush being a better candidate than Ronald Reagan back in 1980. Everyone said, they nominate Ronald Reagan. He's way too extreme. There's no chance this guy is a right-wing lunatic. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was all the rhetoric about Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, but he was
Reagan.
Nice. Perry is a jerk. Everybody in Texas on both sides hates him.
But when you be careful what you wish for is the thing. A lot of people, a lot of Democrats, I was in that campaign, a lot of Democrats were praying that Ronald Reagan would be the nominee. We can beat him like a drum. Look at the things he said. He said that trees cause pollution. Mm-hmm. Those were all the Reagan quotes.
Right. Another strategist said, I almost feel like Romney's got the McCain strategy from last time, which is just to hang around and be the last guy when the dust settles. They haven't done anything to really go on the offense anywhere. And Rick Perry so far has won the jerk off, hasn't he? I mean, he literally...
He's more than a jerk. He's a Cheney.
But that's his strategy. And it has worked for him. He has never lost an election. 26 years in politics. He has worked at being the Barracuda. And he is tough as nails.
And more people are talking about him right now than they're talking about Mitt Romney.
He's number one. Because he's such a douche
nozzle. Exactly.
By the way, the John McCain strategy of being the last guy standing when all the dust settles, that's Newt Gingrich. That's his strategy. He has nobody nobody working for him.
There's nobody. Just him.
It's not even Callista. She's gone. She's at Tiffany's.
After the break, let's call him and see if he actually answers. I think he will.
I think he will.
Hi. Newt Gingrich headquarters, frankly.
He'll come on any show that'll have him, just because it's free.
Because if we have to tell him, by the way, you're on the air, he'll be like, okay, frankly, where is this? 58 minutes after the hour, right back. The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. The Dow down 470 points. The only way to stimulate the economy is to buy a ticket to the Sexy Liberal Show in Detroit this Saturday, I think.
That's really good for jobs. Mm-hmm. It keeps a whole bunch of people employed. Do you have as many people working for you as Glenn Beck does?
Thousands. Well, some had their brains eaten by an amoeba. But sure, the venue has set up a party pack. Use the code Lefty. You can bring three friends and you get your ticket free. It's like a four-pack. The Sexy Liberal Show at the Detroit Opera House this Saturday.
And Roland wanted me to mention that we are going to be having a couple of really big announcements tomorrow on this very program.
Really?
About Sexy Liberal.
Why wasn't I told?
That's probably way down in your inbox.
What?
She's looking very shocked.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Shocked and stunned.
All right. So lots to...
Shocked and stunned.
Lots to get to. The president yesterday talking about jobs.
President We've seen over the last 17 months... over 2 million private sector jobs created. But everybody here knows we've still got a long way to go.
All right. And part of the person doing the long, hard slog to get that done, Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York, one of our very personal favorites. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How's the shocked and stunned Stephanie Miller?
I'm shocked. I'm stunned. it's my own stimulus package, the Sexy Liberal Show. So, Congressman, obviously the president talking about jobs yesterday. He's going to, I think, Labor Day, right? He's going to unveil his economic strategy in the speech right after Labor Day.
Right. Well, let's hope it includes revenues, because there is no way that after more and more exposure to the truth out there is shared with the American public, that we should allow for this to continue without a balanced approach. And, you know, there's such a effort here to save some of these investments that we need to make in order to grow jobs, that it's going to happen only if we're progressive on tax policy reform. It's riddled with shelters, with loopholes, and certainly we hear about what every economic strata is carrying, income strata is carrying here in our society. And it's time for the middle class to step up and say, we understand this, we've connected the dots, and we want fairness.
Well, I thought Warren Buffett wrote such a great piece.
Buffett's piece was tremendous.
Yeah, but I mean, I love, he did not react well to all of the Republican candidates saying they would not accept a deal that put spending cuts and tax increases at a 10-to-1 ratio. He said that was pathetic. He said, I mean, listen, I like Republicans. If you've got Democrats on some core issue to them, they'd probably do something just as silly. But when they take that attitude, they're really saying, you know, I want to win this primary. They're saying, country be damned, I want to win this primary.
Right. Well, the Tea Party Republican majority in the House of Representatives has to come to terms with the fact that we need to grow jobs, and we do it through investment. I have been touring with all my manufacturers in the 21st Congressional District in the capital region of upstate New York, and there are some who are making ends meet. They're exporting their products around the world, but they have said the way they got competitive was through innovation, through automation, and through advanced manufacturing, and that works with a CAT center that we have out here, a Center for Advanced Technology, that works with the university like RPI, and they're coming up with ways to cut energy costs. They're coming up ways to be more competitive, to shave those costs up their manufacturing process. Let's face it, the Bush administration did not focus on manufacturing as a sector of our economy. They did not focus on agriculture. They focused on the service sector, and there, more narrowly, with just the financial services, and we know what happened there. Special treatment, avoiding regulation, allowing for special tools to be created, like derivatives, that got us into deep trouble, brought the economy to its knees, and all these other sectors need now to be addressed. And make it in America is the mantra that the Democrats in the House have embraced. I share that with them. We need to create jobs. We need to manufacture jobs here. And it begins and ends with the soundness of investment and innovation.
Well, it sounds like it's a broad package of tax cuts, construction work, help for millions of Americans who've been unemployed for months. And here we go again, right? Republicans immediately cast doubt about any such plan, setting up, you know, another showdown to pay for the jobs idea. The president apparently going to challenge the new super committee to go well beyond its goal of finding $1.5 trillion deficit reduction, with part of the savings used to cover some of his economy jolting help without sinking the nation deeper into debt. There, too, he already faces trouble, of course, from Republicans who have ruled out any tax hikes.
It seems to me, Stephanie, it's time for us to really do an information squad, take it to the streets, and really share with people the facts out there and what solutions are going to work best. You know, for them to just profess that it's about the free market and let the capital system rule and everything will happen, well, tell the business in America, the business community in America, about the free market when they know their competitors from other nations are co-investing. There's a public-private partnership. They're co-investing in jobs. And to not do that in this country and to not invest in innovation, in the sort of cutting-edge thinking, you know, we invest in brain power in this country. We enable people to go to college. We encourage people to pursue that American dream, to express their skills, their talents, their passions, and then we don't utilize that to grow jobs. Well, it just seems like a no-brainer to me.
And, you know, I do think it's really Warren Buffett, I think, to me, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, it just makes good sense. He said he was on Charlie Rose. He said, what I propose, incidentally, would not touch the taxes of 99.7%. I'm talking about 0.3% of the American public, but the people from $1 million and up should be asked to share in a little of the sacrifice we're all being asked to share.
You're right, and I think, you know, it does make sense. It's something that both sides could accept. And when he points out that the top fewest hundreds of taxpayers who are in that uppermost stratosphere of economics and income were in the late 80s or early 90s were paying about 29% of their income towards taxes. And now that's dwindled to near 20%.
Right.
And you've seen the pressure in the opposite direction, where the growth has come on to the middle class. And even within Warren Buffett's own operation, he's saying, look, I have a 17% liability here. 17% of my income goes towards taxes for the federal government. And some who work with me who are of the most modest income strata are paying 41%. So, you know,
right.
all of these theories, all this factual information needs to be exchanged, and the passion has to be expressed by America's working families or middle class.
Yeah. Let me ask you a direction on one more thing he said. He also addressed the Federal Reserve's decision to keep interest rates incredibly low over the next 2 years. He said when they say we're going to keep rates low till 2013, they're really saying the economy's not going to be very good until then. I think there's a chance they're wrong. I think the U.S. economy may pick up before then. I had an interesting take from a realtor friend who said this is hurting housing because of people, then they have no incentive to buy. If they,
right.
You know, what's your take on all that?
Well, you know, there's concern that if you do have that interest rate grow, that it will be a risk to the nation's economy. Look, I think we're probably going to see a slow but steady climb out of that deep pit that we were in. But we didn't get into this trouble overnight. And we're not going to get out of it as quickly as we would all like. But, you know, the slow and steady climb in private sector job growth, where we're realizing millions of new jobs added in the private sector, was disrupted by some natural situations, natural tragedies, including some of the earthquakes and situations around the world that impacted the energy scene, and that further slowed the economic comeback. But if we, you know, had focused on the jobs crisis throughout these last couple of months rather than deal with a manufactured default crisis, we would have been on a
That's right. On a
stronger climb out of the recession.
We wasted
precious time.
Yep, that's right. David Bender has a question for
Congressman
you.
David Bender, let me ask you something.
Sure.
The Republicans ran against Nancy Pelosi last time, and it was all about, I heard Michael Steele bragging, it's you know, fire Pelosi.
Right.
Your colleague Steve Israel from New York is running the Democratic campaign this cycle. Are you guys going to run against the Republican majority? Are you going to run against this do-nothing Republican Congress? Is that going to be the mantra?
Well, I would hope that we would talk about the extreme thinking that the Tea Party Republican majority in the House of Representatives has imposed. I do not think it's connecting at all with the needs of the middle class and working families. They are not about cutting so deeply that you don't invest in education, you don't invest in job creation, you end Medicare. These are things that the American public is vehemently opposed to. And I think we need to make that connection with the masses out there of the middle class and working families and let them know who's about investing in their future. This is about investing in the American dream. And the public, in large measure, wants to embrace that American dream. They want to know that that dream is still within reach and that we are supporting their efforts to live the American dream. And we will, I think, express through our policies, through our advocacy, our Make It in America campaign, our efforts to save Medicare and strengthen Medicare and not privatize Social Security and to invest in jobs, this will resonate with the public. And, you know, we don't have to bash any leader. We don't have to go after them in a personal way. We do have to relate to
them. With respect, sir, I think you do. I think you need to say fire Boehner. And that's got to be the message.
Well, you know, if the speaker has allowed the tail to wag the dog here, then we need to let the public know that.
Absolutely.
If it was a lack of leadership, we will express that. You know, I think right now we desperately need thoughtfulness in how we reform this economy and shape our future, re-engineer our future. And I would hope that people would understand it's about the academics. And the tension has come with this polarization in Washington. And I don't know if the finger pointing or the personal attacks are going to be received well.
Well, you know, the problem, I wish we had a Congress full of Paul Tonkos, because you are a serious, thoughtful person. But I think, unfortunately, that's not what we're up against on the other side. You know, I think they've made it clear from day one it's all about politics. But, you know, Representative, I so appreciate you always taking time for us and explaining what's going on. We will talk again soon.
Well, I always love joining Stephanie Miller and her listeners.
Thank you, Representative.
Okay,
there you
have
go.
A great day.
You too. Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York. He's crazy smart. Chris, what's his deal? He's he splits atoms in his free time or something. He's
a very smart guy.
Yeah. I forget. See, his resume is crazy.
And a very principled guy.
Yeah,
but
you
know
what?
That's
the problem. That's on our side and their side. It's, you know.
It's like our president.
Louis Gohmert.
Louis Gohmert.
Oh, my God.
He's a mechanical industrial engineer.
Sure. See?
Yeah. There we go.
Yes.
He can fix anything.
except the Republican Party.
Yeah, he's a nuclear engineer. That's
it. Or who isn't?
Infrastructure.
Okay. Whatever. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. What's that? Texas ranks dead last in total job creation, accounting for labor force growth. What? Where's my Texas miracle?
I'm a job creator. That's what I do.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, yeah. Stephanie Miller.
I don't remember that from Charlie Brown.
David Bender's doing Snoopy dances
with me. I love
the
Snoopy dance. I love that. And then there was this other Tutti Frutti part that, as Jim Ward rightly points out, may not have been the original Charlie Brown special. What's that
about?
All right,
24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anyone. I blame either the brain-eating amoeba or Rick Perry. The entire country is having a off. Everyone is they're competing to be a bigger, you know what I'm saying?
Cheney?
Yes, a Cheney. So what is... All right, Chris, tell the story about the... I don't know what we're having. We're in some sort of racist frenzy. I don't know what's happening here. So Andy Dick
was...
Who never in the history of the world has been a person been more aptly named.
Right. He called Howard Stern a
shallow,
hook-nosed, money-grubbing Jew. On Howard Stern's radio channel on satellite radio.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah.
And then in other hip-hop news, what is this, an extremist?
A Muslim extremist blogger has, called for the death of the lowly Jew, David Letterman.
Who is not Jewish.
Didn't he threaten to cut out his tongue?
Cut out his tongue and silence the lowly Jew forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is not a
Not
Jewish.
A Jew, but we could convert him. We could have David Letterman's bar mitzvah. Let's do that.
Oh, boy.
Think of the gifts.
All right. I think as Rick Perry said at his prayer palooza, they ain't making Jews like Jesus anymore. I think that's what he said.
Did he say
that? That's what I was thinking, Friedman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Oh, they're
wow.
This is the other
Jewish men in Texas.
You know,
besides
I forgot,
Jack Ruby.
Kinky Friedman ran against Rick Perry, didn't he? Ran for governor of Texas.
He did.
That would have been a campaign.
Yes.
Kinky Friedman and Rick Perry. Can you imagine the whistle stops?
Sharon in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sharon.
Hi, Stephanie. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
You too. Go ahead.
Hey, I just really wish that the Dems would just pound the stump with the idea of taking the cap off of FICA. I mean, how many problems could we solve if we just decided to tax every dollar that people made?
Well, we'll have to ask Rick Perry what he thinks about that Ponzi scheme in general of Social Security.
Oh my God.
I think it's a communist plot.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well,
hey,
I came out of Israel.
You pronounce it Israel because you're an American. They put not enough syllables in some words and too many in Jahu and Jahizus. All right. Texas dead last in total job creation.
Yay.
Accounting for labor force. Yeah, I knew the minute you kind of scratched the surface of the Texas miracle, David, you might...
Yeah. You might get an itch if you scratch that too
much. You like a rock that's really pretty, you pick it up and go, oh, what's under there? Oh, it's potato bugs, it's worms. I don't know why I'm doing Pee Wee Herman. I'm not really sure why I'm...
I'm trying to use the phone!
Hey, now you're a job creator. What am I, Rick Perry?
Governor Perry...
trying to use the phone!
I didn't know where that came from.
Trapped in the 80s.
All right, and that's current for me. I normally, my references go back farther. Rick Perry, since he launched his presidential campaign, has paraded around that the statistic that, quote, since June of 2009, Texas is responsible for more than 40% of all the new jobs created in America. He said, think about that. We're home to less than 10% of the population in America, but 40% of all our new jobs were created in that state. Here are the actual fun facts. This stat leaves out a lot of the story. The Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas acknowledges the number comes out different depending on whether one compares Texas to all states or just the states that are adding jobs. Between 2008 and 2010, jobs actually grew at a faster pace in Massachusetts than in Texas. In fact, Texas has done worse than the rest of the country since the peak of national unemployment in October 2009. The unemployment rate in Texas has been steadily increasing throughout the recession. From 7.7 to 8.2%, while the state was supposedly creating 40% of all the new jobs in the U.S. Looking at purely at job creation misses a key point, namely that Texas also has experienced incredibly rapid population and labor force growth due to a series of factors, including that Texas weathered the housing bubble reasonably well due to strict mortgage lending regulations. Excuse me.
Math is a liberal bias.
When this is taken into account, Texas job creation looks decidedly less impressive. Clearly, there is no miracle in Texas here. While over 126,000 net jobs were created in Texas over the last 2.5 years, the labor force expanded by over 437,000, meaning overall Texas has added unemployed workers at a rate much faster than it has created jobs. We'll tell you more about what Paul Krugman has to say about the Texas miracle.
Oh, now you like Paul Krugman.
Yes, I do. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, Stephanie Miller.
You are the height of just too muchery.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. David, what happened when you thought you lost your laptop? What did you get immediately?
I got Carbonite.
Carbonite. Mm-hmm.
And it saved my life. Mm-hmm. I typed the promo code Stephanie and it saved my life and my job and my house husbandry.
Thank you. Carbonite automatically backs up all those files whenever you're connected to the internet. Couldn't be easier. Go to Carbonite.com today. Enter the offer code Stephanie for your free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
Harrison Ford not included.
Thank you.
He can be included. If you really want him, he can be included. He's doing a lot of things.
Dawn in Detroit. He's going to Sexy Liberal Saturday. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, honey.
What's
just
up?
I heard from a little birdie that you were having a problem getting a place to stay.
Really? Is there no room at the inn in Detroit?
All of the hotels are just filled up. We got the Woodward Dream Cruise this weekend.
Oh my
gosh. Actually, it's been the whole week. So if you come, this is the biggest car show in the world.
I've heard.
If you come, you have to experience. I mean, when you come, you have to experience it. But anyway, I'm offering you a place to stay at my house.
A futon? Absolutely. I'm there.
No, no. I have an extra bedroom.
Oh, okay.
And I live right on the Detroit River.
All right. Well, Aisha Tyler is like
about,
6 feet tall, so if you have a long fold-out.
20 minutes south of Detroit.
Awesome.
So if you're not far out,
awesome.
You know.
Done. I'll bring the box wine.
No, I'll have the box wine.
All right, fine. All right, I'll just get the futon ready. Thank you, Dawn. All right, there we go.
Have a That's awfully
day.
Nice.
That was very sweet.
It is, and a big car show, too.
I know, right?
They're going to be
totally right.
Honking their horns at the Sexy Liberal Show.
Deidre in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Deidre.
Good morning, my Gafaw team. I love you guys.
Thank you.
And I'm going to spit this out fast, so focus. Lately, I've been ruminating about leadership. Because it's such an abstract, and I'm reminded of when Osama bin Laden was killed, and afterwards I could feel myself begin to pant that I wanted to see that gruesome photo. And what did my president do? He jerked me up like a proper parent and said, no, we are better than that. And I love that feeling of being pulled to my better self.
Yes.
On that note, here's our new bumper sticker. American flag. Every star has a blood spot in it. The blood spots are different hues of red. Around the flag are all of the divisive comments that our society has trained our brains to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's black? Which one's white? Poor, rich, Jew, Muslim, you know, et cetera. And on the bottom, it says choose unity. Now, would that not pull up our dialogue?
That is the most confusing flag and slogan I've ever heard of. You do not have a career as a campaign strategist, but I do love you, Deidre. Thank you for calling.
Need a trail of breadcrumbs to get back to the beginning of that.
I don't. Yeah. Was there a point? I think.
I felt like a ping pong ball.
Yeah. By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
All of our eyes were spinning around like those little things that you shake.
No, it's a pinball machine. We were in a pinball machine there.
All right. Hey, Jim, don't you love that Paul Krugman? I do.
Oh, there we go.
Today you do.
He's convenient.
When he's not talking about President Obama in ways that,
as Paul Krugman put it,
don't like.
Several factors underlie Texas' rapid population growth, a high birth rate, immigration from Mexico, and inward migration of Americans from other states who are attracted to Texas by its warm weather and low cost of living, low housing costs in particular. They have little to do with Perry's policies, however. If there is a real miracle here, it's North Dakota, which has seen over 27,000 new jobs, all of them working for Ed Schultz. I don't know if people know that. That is absolutely true. And a labor force expansion of only 3,700, resulting in about 24,000 new jobs for workers who previously had none. But no one is proclaiming the North Dakota miracle and saying Governor Jack, what's his name, Dalrymple? Right there is the reason he couldn't be president. And, yeah. But, when you
Sounds
crunch
like
the actual...
Harry Potter character.
Exactly. Yep. When you crunch the actual numbers, as you said, David, there is no Texas miracle. And whether the media will cover that, who knows?
But the point is, there are no facts anymore. Remember, this was the period it came out of Texas where they said, we create our own reality.
Right.
And they invented it as they go along.
And you don't mess with it, apparently.
No, you don't.
Unless
yeah.
you're us, then you do. Okay. Rick Perry.
The president said I needed to watch what I say. I just want to respond back, if I may. Mr. President, actions speak louder than words. My actions as governor are helping create jobs in this country. The president's actions are killing jobs.
Okay.
This is going to be so interesting because Karl Rove is going after this guy, hammer and tongs, because basically Rick Perry is saying he did what George Bush couldn't do as governor of Texas.
Yeah.
This is, I was a better governor than this guy.
Oh, I know.
The
real man fight right now is between Bush and Perry, which is hilarious.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
And that's going to be fun to watch. That's where there really will be blood on the floor.
Yeah, here he is on his...
We have tried... 2.5 years of government creating jobs.
Well,
it's time to let the private sector create the jobs that will create the wealth.
And how many of those jobs are state jobs you got there in Texas, the minimum wage jobs?
And federal jobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and one more.
We spent about the last 2.5 years in a grand experiment with the American economy, and it has been a terrible, terrible disaster.
As Paul Krugman would say, the stimulus should have been bigger.
Yeah. It's, but you know, to say
but
that
he pulled back.
But to say that it did not create jobs is just, it's ridiculous. All right. Oh, hey, looky, we have royalty on the phone. It's the program director of my new Cleveland station. Because I'm such a suck-off, I took that call first. Hello, handsome and talented Gary. How are you? Hi, Gary in Cleveland.
Hey, Steph.
How
Gary
are you?
Gary Richards.
Hey,
General
Gary.
Manager of WABQ, your newest affiliate in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome back to the Northeast Ohio Airwaves.
We are really excited. And plus, we just love yelling, hello, Cleveland.
We do.
We're going to...
I heard that yesterday. Thanks for the shout-out. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. It's very Spinal Tap. But we are thrilled to be back in Ohio because it is such an important state.
It's a very important battleground state, and we're hoping to do our part to swing it our way. So we had a great time in Columbus a few years ago when we had the WBKO and when you came out for our big event, and hope to see you again. Maybe we can get the Sexy Liberal Tour up here to Cleveland.
That would be awesome. Now, because as I recall, I think they replaced us with a right-wing station in Columbus, which now has a zero rating. Actually, it gets outrated
exactly.
by a station from another city. So...
Exactly.
We're excited you had the good taste in broadcasting to bring us back to Ohio. Thank you so much.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Thank you so much for gracing our airwaves up here.
Well, and thank you for being the most handsome, talented, and well-endowed program director in the country. I appreciate that.
Well, you're right about you were right about that.
Yes, I know. I know, Gary. All right, Gary. We'll see you soon in Cleveland. Thank you.
Actually, general manager. But
general manager.
Right?
All right. Well, listen. Yeah. I'll give you a different title every day.
We have program director Joe Cleveland. Want to give him a shout out. Doing a great job. He does our morning show and leads into your show. So mornings are the place to be right here on Talk 1460 WABQ.
Woo! That said like a real radio guy. He hit the post. All right, Gary. Thank you. Here he goes. The general manager.
General Cleveland. And that was that was no suck up at all.
Yes.
You know,
no.
But we call it truth in broadcasting.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, buddy. Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama. A couple of things. One about Kasich in Ohio and about the Sexy Liberal Show in Detroit.
Yes.
The reason it's all sold out is when I tried to call for a hotel room up there, they said, why are you coming in town for the show? And I go, well, yeah. And they were thinking of the Kenny Chesney Show.
Oh.
Which is right next door to you.
Awesome.
On the same night.
Awesome.
But let everybody know that right across the river in beautiful Windsor, Ontario, there's beds to be had.
Awesome. And I'll take as many people into my bed physically can. You know how I am. I give and I give.
I'm willing to bunk with Aisha.
You give.
Real quick,
yes.
Is in Ohio, John Kasich blinked yesterday. He said
I saw.
He'd be willing to negotiate now with us on SB5 because we're going to recall it in November.
Yep.
If we stop the recall, he'll talk to us.
Wow. I guess he must be looking over his shoulder at Governor Walker.
He can't refuse.
Yeah, we've got a good answer for that one.
Yeah, exactly. All right, buddy. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Tom in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to give a big birthday shout-out to Elvis.
Hey, Elvis.
Hey, I think. Hey, does she celebrate Jesus' birthday on Easter?
There we go. Good one.
She's such a dopey McDope person. Okay. I think the amoeba started with her brain first. The brain-eating amoeba.
And it got a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they grow. Actually, there wasn't a lot of food there, but they keep growing once they keep eating these brains. And by the way, let's do a real birthday shout-out. Tomorrow, Bill Clinton's birthday.
Big dog.
Yeah. How about that? And I think he uses his birthday to raise money for charity. Good on him.
Awesome.
People go to the Bill Clinton Foundation.
Yes.
They can contribute.
Speaking of plugs, you have to do your app.
There is an app. You can listen to the Stephanie Miller Show. You can listen to all of us, and you can listen to all the progressive voices at progressivevoices.com. But it's actually an app. Go to, if you have an iPhone, an iPad, a Droid, go to the market, download the Progressive Voices app, and you can get all of this. All of this is there.
Imagine.
And I got a little bit of breaking news.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Uh-huh.
Come the campaign season,
yes.
This fall, I'm going to be doing regular political broadcasting at the Progressive Voices app.
But you're mine. fine.
But I'll still be doing it here.
All right, fine.
But I'll do it there, too.
Awesome.
We'll update, and it's one big progressive universe at Progressive Voices.
Cluster.
There
exactly.
We go.
Awesome. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is so cool. What is it?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Glamour of show business. 50 minutes after the hour, how pathetic are our lives? This is literally a discussion in the commercial break. I said I'm tired, and Chris said, because you were up carousing all night with David Bender. We ate dinner at?
Five.
Chris ate dinner at 4:30.
Oh, we were late.
Carousing for us. I was like,
we were.
Five.
Yeah, and it was like, God, I've never seen 5 o'clock. And then actually there was an 8 o'clock last night.
You know what the dinner bell is in my house? It's you can hear Al Sharpton yelling from any room, and it's time to come in and eat.
You can actually hear Max and Fred.
It's time for dinner.
Max and Fred enjoyed dinner last night.
Yes, indeed, they did.
They did.
Well, you always get a little extra drool in your dinner until you give it up.
They do, and I did.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Chuck in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
When you're in Detroit, definitely check out the Woodward Cruise. That's where I'll be, so sorry I can't make it to your show.
Damn you, Chuck. All right.
Priorities.
Whatever.
Says we got to be there with her red Mustang and have the top down, so I got to wash and wax it today.
Oh, awesome. Wax off.
And it goes all night, does it, this Woodward car show?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Calling about Rick Perry. And you know if Karl Rove is involved, it's something devious.
Yeah, right. I know. You're like, what is he up to? Why is he saying something that agrees with what we think?
Perry is the extremist, so that's the standard Republican ploy. Go all the way the other way, and then when you back up, people are relieved and go, oh, gee, that's all you want? So they can easily back up from Perry, who satisfies the extreme right, and go to Romney, and the normal person would go, okay, well, then he's not as bad. Let's take him.
Mm-hmm.
Same ploy for Medicare and Social Security. He's saying just nullify them, void them out. And then when they back up and say, oh, no, we don't want to do that. We only want to privatize them and reduce them.
Right, yeah.
And then people will be relieved when none of it should even happen.
I've said that, Chuck. He's to the right of Michelle Bachmann, who has not even said Social Security is unconstitutional. So, I mean, exactly. So we'll thank Mitt Romney when he privatizes it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes. That's the point.
Yep, I hear you.
The principle is if someone is hitting you on the foot with a hammer, when they actually stop, you feel good.
Yeah.
Your foot is broken, but you feel better because they stop whacking at you. So it's, you know, the pain is less. Here's the deal. Perry, right now, barring anything unforeseen, and again, there are a lot of unforeseen things that are going to happen, Perry's
like
position...
Like certain rumors coming true.
Perry exploding
in a big gay cloud of glitter.
Perry is positioned to be the nominee.
Mm-hmm.
And
it depends on how he's been positioned, I think.
What positions he's been in.
You are uncompromising in that position, aren't you?
Glitter.
I feel a glitter wave coming on. Uh-huh. But Perry could well be the nominee. So listen, be careful. And we were talking about this over the break. Be careful what you wish for.
Right.
Because a lot of people said Reagan was unelectable.
Yep,
he was too extreme. And Democrats were encouraging Reagan to be the nominee. We'll beat him. Oh, Jimmy Carter can beat Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Not necessarily true.
I love that Rick Santorum has become the voice of sanity and the defender of gays in the Republican. Huh?
Yeah. Well,
what's that about?
In Iran.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are no gays in Iran.
What? They don't have that there.
No. Ahmadinejad said so.
Ahmadinejad said
true.
No. Rick Santorum slammed Rick Perry's comment about Ben Bernanke is totally out of bounds. Watch Rick Santorum, voice of sanity. He said his comments about Ben Bernanke, they were completely out of bounds. I don't agree with Ben Bernanke's policies, but to me the rhetoric that Rick Perry used was sort of the rhetoric I'd expect from a John Conyers.
What?
Speaking of bad analogies.
John Conyers?
Talking about President Bush and saying he should be impeached. Well, in that case...
That's not remotely the same thing.
No. Exactly.
We don't do that.
We don't impeach people. We don't charge people with treason because we disagree with them on public policy.
Yes, we do. Yes, they do.
That wasn't disagreeing on public policy. That was an illegal war started by lies.
And they impeached
Bill
Clinton.
Which would be war crimes.
They impeached Bill Clinton for things that had nothing to do.
Which, by the way, guess who voted for that? Rick Santorum.
Yeah. Indeed he did.
Yes. He said hopefully Governor Perry will step back and recognize we're not in Texas anymore.
We're not in Texas anymore, Toto.
Well, if it was up to Governor Perry, they wouldn't be in the U.S. anymore in Texas. So there.
Well, let him take Texas.
Please,
can take Texas and go
leave
with
us
it.
Austin and go.
Yeah.
We will be in Austin, by the way. We're going to mess with Rick Perry's Texas in November with the Sexy Liberal Show. Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Rick Perry as well.
Stephanie, does Rick Perry comprehend, like the other GOP Republicans, that the reason why Obama can't bring jobs forward? We've had 20 record filibusters against jobs. We have $1 billion a day going over to China and their products. We have record unemployment because they're outsourcing jobs. They don't want to back one single jobs program. Where is he coming from? I don't understand. You guys that keep saying, they sound like parrots in a pet shop saying the same thing over again. They think we, the public, can't see what they're doing.
Yeah.
We're the job creators.
Yeah. No, the president's barely got the words out of his mouth yesterday about the jobs. We don't like it. It's not good. Yeah.
And Stephanie, no offense, but I don't want to go flip burgers for a living. I've worked at my job for a long time. I'm well established. I enjoy it. It takes care of me. I earned it. I don't want to go into a society where we all become slaves and we got the people hitting us with whips and they're all making $1 billion a year. You know, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No offense to the burger flippers of the world, but, just saying.
Gary Bauer?
No,
that's
pancakes.
A pancake flipper. That's
I get them confused.
Or a flip-flopper, which is Mitt Romney. All right.
There's no reason why we shouldn't put Americans back to work all across the country rebuilding America.
Uh-huh. Why aren't we doing that?
Well, the problem is he didn't even get the plan out. He's going to announce the plan is it Labor Day or right after?
Right.
Yeah. And the Republicans literally already, we hate it. It's not good. Yeah.
We don't know what it is, but we hate it.
It's okay.
These aren't radical ideas. I mean, building roads, when did that become partisan issues?
That's crazy.
Hitler built roads. Hitler built roads. Huh?
He did.
Rest my case. That's my point.
It's time to put country ahead of party. It's time to worry more about the next generation than the next election. If we do that, I guarantee you, nobody can stop us, Atkinson. Nobody can stop the United States of America.
Oh, but the Tea Party's trying already. Mm-hmm. And one more from the president.
And my attitude is, get it done. And if they don't get it done, then we'll be running against a Congress that's not doing anything for the American people. And the choice will be very stark and will be very clear.
I think that's smart politically.
It is way overdue. Thank you, Mr. President.
I think something may actually get done then. You know why, Chris? Because we'll be on vacation then.
That's
Labor Day week. So I think some big, huge job things, and then somehow it'll pass.
Doesn't that always happen when you're on vacation? Major things happen.
Unemployment will drop like 6 points. I'll be like, what the? Yes, that's why I do it. That's why I give and I give for America, because that's who I am.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
You are the most patriotic person I have ever met.
I go away so America can work again. All right. Hey, guess what, kids?
What?
We have you probably hadn't heard of him, the gay Republican presidential candidate, Fred Karger, who they won't let him in their debates. Well, we will let him on the Stephanie Miller Show.
He's coming up in the next hour.
But just right after the break. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour tomorrow. Friday's with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang. Tune in then. SexyLiberal.com, the website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Join us in Detroit. Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, and I will be coming to Detroit Saturday night, where another very big name will be joining us.
Sexy Liberal Show. To Detroit.
Yes. Exactly. All right. So we hope to see you there. Oh, and we're going to have some more big Sexy Liberal announcements, I'm told, tomorrow, which I guess I'll hear about for the first time. All right. Clearly, David Bender has snuck into my house and written something on my paper calendar, which I am unaware of. But I should know by tomorrow.
You will. Mm-hmm. When you're ready to know,
okay,
then you'll know.
Good. All right. Stephanie Miller Talk, I'm on a need-to-know basis and mind my own
in your life.
Empire or whatever this
whatever.
Is.
Whatever.
Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. All right, this is very exciting. We have been talking about this. The last Republican debate was last week, and Pizza Guy was there, of course. Crazy Pizza Guy.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must tell Jesus. I need more cheese.
All right. But someone that was not there is Fred Karger, who is also a Republican candidate for president, and he joins us now. Good morning, Fred.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie and David.
Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Well, thank you. I'm live from New York.
You are protesting outside of News Corp today.
Well, yes. I'm actually hand-delivering a formal complaint and a letter to Rupert Murdoch and other Fox executives who, in spite of my qualifying for that debate you're talking about last Thursday, decided to change the rules after I qualified to exclude me.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's because you're gay. That here's the thing that I don't get. I'm also gay. I just don't get how you can be a Republican, particularly in this the current makeup of the Republican Party and the degree of homophobia that they express.
Well, it's not easy, I'll tell you. But, you know, I've met a lot of people, and I'm hoping I'm changing their impressions. And I'm going to get in a debate, I promise you, if not the next one, the one after, the one after that. And if I'm on that stage, as is said, you know, if someone's in the room, they're less apt to be talked about. So I want to calm down the rhetoric. I want to move on to issues like jobs, education reform, getting out of both our wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and just stop beating up on the gay community and gay bashing.
Well, but that's what I was going to say is, I mean, it's hard. How do you feel comfortable in a party that includes the kind of people that would be on that stage with you with the kind of statements they've made about gay people?
Well, you know, I'm not wild about it. I'm trying to change these platforms. I'm trying to, you know, fight from within. It's easy to leave the party. I mean, I could have. I've been a member of the Republican Party for, you know, my entire lifetime, basically. But when I grew up, it was a very different Republican Party. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm from Illinois, and I worked for Charles Percy, and, you know, I was termed a Rockefeller Republican. And, you know, it was a very different party. But,
well,
and then what happened, a lot of the Southern Democrats weren't happy with that party, and they came into
right.
it, and along with evangelicals, and wrecked it. And
Fred,
I want to bring it back.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but yeah, you were 14. You worked against my dad's running mate, Goldwater, for Rockefeller. So you don't have to tell me this ain't my dad and Goldwater's party anymore. I mean,
well, of course, you know, I got to work with Barry Goldwater in the Reagan reelection campaign very closely in 1984, and, you know, revered him. And he was, you know, here was a guy who was not the social conservative. You know, he was in, like your dad, they were, you know, tough military conservatives, and I'm in a very different era. But, you know, Barry Goldwater's line, I don't care if they're straight, the soldiers, as long as they can shoot straight.
That's right.
And his gay grandson is a friend of mine.
Yes, me too.
You
know, all I'm saying, Fred, is come home, Fred. Come home to the Democratic Party. For God's sake, stop this now. Stop spinning on your back and come home.
Hey, look at Stephanie. Don't forget, you know, just a few months ago, we would not have the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell if it weren't for 8 courageous Republican senators
yep.
and 15 in the House who overrode Boehner. So without the two-party system, as the Republicans do get in party or we
yep.
get in power or we need them, we've got to change from within. So I'm not giving up. I'm 61. I've been fighting this party my whole life. I'm not going to give up now.
I admire what you're doing and what you stand for. And in fact, I brought a gift for you. This is because this is from your childhood. I hope this doesn't throw you off, but the Rifleman. You had a Chuck Connors crush, right? Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
No, but you know.
Connors.
Yeah. Hot, right?
Yeah, I took his shirt off about every third episode.
Hello.
None of us ever noticed that, Fred. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was, you know, an adolescent, too. I mean, so it just shows that, you know, it's not a choice. We're born that way. It's perfectly okay. It's why I'm doing this, Stephanie and David. I want to send a message to younger people that you can be gay. You can do anything you want to do. You can live a very full life. You can get married now in states like New York, where I am, and five other states.
God, Fred, I am so hoping and praying that you get in that next debate. And I swear to God, if you bring a boombox and turn on Baby, I Was Born This Way, and just wave a glow stick in front of Michelle Bachmann, I will French kiss you.
And you know the funny part is that you will be the one bringing Born This Way to the debate. The last person to quote Born This Way in a Republican campaign appearance was Tim Pawlenty, and he had to drop out.
Yeah.
Tim Pawlenty was quoting the lyrics from Born This Way. Be careful, Fred. Yeah. Be very careful.
Now, Fred, I got to thank you, because I'm out here in California, and I know you founded Californians Against Hate to oppose Prop 8. And I think that this is important. You know, this L.A. Times piece is talking about by nudging Mitt Romney, preferably on stage in front of a national TV audience, you would like to stop the church crusade against same-sex marriage by the Mormon Church, which obviously funded this out here. You're saying, in your view, Romney could make that happen with a phone call. Yeah, and I love the L.A. Times piece. Says, Romney's feelings are unknown. His campaign declined to comment because that would involve taking a stance on something. It might be uncomfortable.
He's not a big fan of Fred Carter's, I can tell you that. You know, I demonstrated at his book signing in San Diego at a Mormon bookstore. We had a big protest there. We had five TV stations. I took out ads all over the country as he did his book tour, asking the public to call Mitt Romney to call off the Mormon Church. And he has that power. You know, if it comes down to a president of the United States or gay marriage, the Mormon Church will choose a president. So if the gay issue is, you know, hurting them and hurting him, he will make that call.
You know, your friend and mine is quoted in this LA Times piece, Chad Griffin, who obviously was one of the strategists behind, you know, the court challenge to Prop 8. So, you know, he talked about, he praised your great service and exposing the Mormon Church's role. He had kind words for your candidacy. But here's your problem at the end of the day. Fred's a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'll be supporting and voting for President Obama. I think that must be hard for you. I mean, when we've made such progress in gay rights, but largely due to President Obama and Democrats.
Well, yes and no. You know, there's a chart released yesterday by a quality organization that had rated all the candidates, and of course, I'm at the very top of the list. I have 100% rating. Obama does not. He's got some black marks. He's not, you know, he's evolving on marriage. He's a few other LGBT issues. I am the only full equality candidate. I am appealing to the Victory Fund for an endorsement, which could be monumental to my campaign. I don't know how they sit out, you know, the first openly gay presidential campaign.
Well,
in
Fred,
history.
I think what you're doing is important. You brought up New York, where you are right now. I think that's, you know, very important reason they achieved marriage equality is because so many Republicans, either that were gay or had gay relatives, you know, funded and got behind it, right?
Absolutely. And four courageous Republicans, in spite of, you know, blackmail threats from the National Organization for Marriage that I've also been fighting. It's a Mormon front group that subpoenaed me, and I've subpoenaed them. You know, they threatened these four and are continuing to. And they play hardball, and they've got unlimited bank accounts. So, you know, we need a two-party system in our civil rights movement. I hope others will stay. I know it's difficult. It's difficult for me at times, but I'm in this. Today I'm delivering a 158-page sworn formal complaint to the Federal Election Commission naming Rupert Murdoch, the owner chairman of News Corp, the parent of Fox News, because they have unfairly kept me out of that debate.
Yep.
They changed the rules after I qualified, and I'm not taking that. I'm fighting each one of these, and I'm going to make sure the FEC investigates this post-haste.
And you know, Fred, you don't really need to deliver the complaint. Just talk about it on your cell phone. They'll know what you intend to do. Don't even bother to bring it by Rupert Murdoch. He'll have it long before you can get there.
He'll have hacked it. Yeah.
I got to say something though, Fred. You have also done something. Not only holding Mitt Romney's feet to the fire on what the Mormon Church has done on things like Proposition 8, but you're the guy who has gone in and discovered that Mitt Romney claimed to be living in Massachusetts, actually voted for Scott Brown, and claimed his residence as his son's basement Isn't that all your work as well?
Yeah, he has had very conflicting statements on his residency, like on his positions over the years. He said that the one that really tipped me off, he said, oh, I'm going to register my son's house in order to vote for Scott Brown. Well, you know, election laws are very, very by state, but, you know, Massachusetts, we let you cannot do that. It has to be your principal domicile. And, you know, he tried to be cute, and for 15 months, he claimed he and his wife, this is a guy worth a reported $250 million, were living as their principal residence in his son's basement.
An unfinished basement, right?
A reporter found out, went to the city clerk and found out that the building department, rather, found out it was unfinished. So we know that's not true. He just, you know, he says a lot of things, many of which are untrue. You know, the Mormon faith actually has a term, which I've spent 3 years, as you know, David, I think, investigating and looking into this religion to try and get them out of this, you know, their quest to end gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a term called lying for the Lord, and I've seen it firsthand.
Yep.
Spokesmen have looked right into the camera and said blatantly, you know, this is not true, and it turns out, you know, that they're lying. And
yep.
That is, you know, it's not uncommon in religion, but
yep.
He practices and they practice it.
Fred, I think what you're doing is really important. You know, I'm good friends with Shelley Wright, and I just had a party for her and her organization, Faith in America, out here at my house, because they're doing the same thing. They're trying to prevent religious bigotry against gay and lesbian people, and I think that's a huge, huge issue. And I always try to pull her into politics, and she always says, I'm not on either side. I'm not Republican. I don't join gangs, you know, which I don't. I'll keep trying. But you know, I think it's really important work what you guys are doing. And I love your sense of humor. I know that you pass out Frisbees and T-shirts and notepads saying, Fred who? So that's all going to end today because now you've been on.
Stephanie Miller.
So now you are officially in the race.
And people can find him at FredKarger.com, right, Fred? Fred Karger with a K?
Yeah, or FredWho.com, David. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
Fred
that's all over with now. You're famous. Fred Karger, thanks so much and good luck.
Thanks
keep us
so
posted.
Much, Stephanie and David.
All right, thanks. All right, thanks.
He's a gutsy guy.
They've probably already hacked his phone.
Yeah, they know. They knew about this weeks ago. But he is a gutsy guy. I give him credit. He is really fighting just to. And actually, it's the same thing that your dad and Barry Goldwater did, is to try and claim the party on principle.
I understand theoretically.
Yeah.
It's like
gonna
a
be tough.
Black person joining the KKK. I
the
understand.
Hard question.
I'm trying to change the organization from the inside.
The hard
I understand.
Question would have been to say, and we didn't ask him that. And you know, let's let him get into
I always
the
go easy
first.
On him on the first interview
yeah, exactly.
to lure
and
them
then,
back.
And lure them
and
back.
Then I pounce
but
like a cheetah.
After the debate, it'll be interesting to see if he gets into a debate to see what he says about what it's like to be close up with Rick
yeah.
Perry and Michelle Bachmann.
He will be even more invisible than Ron Paul. Just must not look at gay person. Must not get gay on me.
Michelle Bachmann will go hide in the restroom.
She'll call 911.
She'll go hide in the bushes.
And go screaming. So at least we'll be spared her dopiness for one debate.
There's a gay man.
There's a gay man on stage.
She should be used to that.
Marcus will be like, I've got this. I've got this, Michelle.
I've got it under
calm
control.
Down. I'll frisk him. Make sure everything's okay.
Corn dogs for everyone.
19 minutes
he's
after.
He's a barbarian and needs to be disciplined, and I'm just the guy.
19 minutes after the hour. All right, we'll return with more Bender in a moment. 21 minutes after the hour, we return with Bender next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like him?
It's brilliant.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It's phase.
I don't see
25.
That. Do you problem?
And it's the hour. It's very supportive. I just hope that the Fred Karger, the gay Republican candidate for president, does get into the next debate just for that awkward moment when he confronts Mitt Romney.
Who let the gays out? Woof, woof.
Mitt Romney is such a dork, isn't he? He's just so
all corporations
awkward.
Are people, my friend. Yes, they are.
Presidential hopeful Mitt Romney sought to widen his appeal Wednesday by saying he's in sync with the Tea Party.
Well, I'm completely in sync. And other rap groups.
Who let the boy band out?
Boy band, woof. Whatever. I don't know the difference. Woof, woof.
Boy bands with dogs.
Romney met with a group of about
dogs.
25 steel workers. Anytime he meets with any sort of regular people, it's just always awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. The workers peppered Romney with questions about why cutting government spending would stimulate the economy. Because it won't. How he would adequately protect Social Security, he won't. Whether he considered himself a member of the Tea Party. Romney hedged on the latter question. Has he ever done that before? What? He's had a... Are you kidding me? He said, I don't know that you sit on a membership of what I consider myself as someone who is in sync with the Tea Party.
I'm completely in sync with,
there it
with
is.
The Tea Party.
Many Tea Party members do not see themselves as in sync with Romney, however.
I'm Lance Bass with Mitt Romney. I am. Did you see what Rick Scott did, the governor of Florida? He tried to show his approval numbers
are wildly popular Rick Scott.
He's like at 30% approval. People hate him. He's been doing state-funded robocalls, saying what a great job he's doing, and people are robocalling him back, going, stop calling me. We hate you.
Hate you
but
so much.
He's trying to show he's every man now, and he was actually working at a donut shop.
Yeah.
And they came in, and people, instead of buying donuts from the governor, they all handed him pink slips. They kept firing one after another. Floridian said, we don't like your donuts.
You know, of all the crappy jobs I've had, as I recall, that's the one job I turned down. It's making donuts at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, 4 o'clock in the morning? Who gets up at that hour? I am never going to do that. Now I get up at 4 in the morning to make fart jokes. Like, that's better somehow.
And where are the donuts? I came in looking for donuts.
Nothing. Rob in Ann Arbor, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Hi, I'm calling to let you know I'm very excited to be able to come to the show. I bought tickets the day they were on sale.
Woo! Sexy but, liberal. See you Saturday at the Detroit Opera House.
I know. By the way, I'm the official fromage of the Stephanie
Miller Show. Fromage. Ooh la la.
Oh, yeah. Praise Jesus.
I was cheeses 1 year for Halloween.
Awesome. Awesome. You better bring it. Bring Mama some cheese.
I am.
Okay.
I am. I just talked to the food and beverage woman at the Opera House, and I'm bringing, I don't know, you guys said you wanted stinky cheese, so I'm going to try and get you something stinky.
Stinky, yes.
And probably an aged Gouda.
Ooh.
I don't know, a box.
Oh, my God, we're so fancy and liberal. This is... Yeah. All right. All right. Bring some liberal elitist cheese.
We'll
thanks, honey.
Sommelier.
I'll be in the front row.
All right. Help me with the cheese. Thank you, Rob.
You need
Thank
a sommelier you. To go along with the fromagier.
You know, you didn't see this on the Redneck
cheese
Comedy Tour.
Wine,
no. Box wine and bring, cheese. I love that.
I would bring a fine camembert and perhaps. Exactly. We do. We do need a sommelier of the Sexy Liberal Show. Come on.
Anyone listening out there?
Come on with it. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Benda on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. She just made me laugh for 10 minutes straight, and when I'd had enough, she stopped.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. The promo code is Stephanie. Why am I sounding like Richard Quest?
Yeah.
Because we keep watching him all morning.
Now Richard Quest is born up here.
I don't know why
You're
I'm doing that.
The Martin Short character, you know.
Yes! Who is that?
I can't remember.
Jiminy Glick.
Yeah.
All right. Dan in Chicago.
I love your work. I've never seen it, but I hear it's fantastic.
Dan in Chicago. Hi, Dan.
Hello. I was curious about one thing first was, what do you think of Obama kind of flip-flopping about being for and then against and then for gay marriage?
He's not been for and against and for and against. He has always said that he is not for gay marriage. He has said he is evolving. His views, like a lot of people's, are evolving. I think, we said yesterday, it's a dog whistle. You tell me what you think, David. I think it's a dog whistle to the left saying, let me get reelected. Don't activate the Republican base. And obviously he has accomplished more on gay rights than any president in our history.
I think that's absolutely right. And if this became an issue about gay marriage, and if that's all anyone talked about, they could, you know, ignore the fact that this is not what affects people's lives on a day-to-day basis. Right now, gay people need jobs, too. Everybody needs jobs. He's talking about what he should be talking about.
Yep. Mittens yesterday. The Mitt Romney.
Not looking to be in a give and take with Governor Perry. He's expressing his views. I express my views and my record. He's a fine guy, fine governor.
Sure.
Fine.
Why do I sense that make it a little nastier?
He's fine.
This is day
Everything's
one.
Fine.
Fine.
He's okay. Fine.
He's fine.
It's good. It's fine. This is going to be one great debate.
I'm clip art. I don't show any emotion.
So, by the way, do you know when these debates are happening? Let me just tell you, for all of our listeners here, tune in. It's right after Labor Day. I think the first one is September 7th. It's at the Reagan Library.
Oh, we'll be on vacation. Chris, and that means there'll be fisticuffs, and something huge will happen because we'll be on vacation.
Then I'll talk about it at progressivevoices.com. But let me tell you something. What's going to be really interesting...
No, John Fugelsang will be filling in.
John Fugelsang, and you'll hear it. You can hear it there. But here's what's going to be interesting. That'll be the first time that Mitt Romney and Rick Perry are going to share a stage. We hope Fred Cargo will join them.
I hope they both just mess each other's hair up. Like, it's almost like a girl fight.
It'll be like that. No, my hair's better than yours.
My hair's better.
And bigger.
As far as I can tell, he didn't lead a business, didn't lead a state, didn't lead a city. He didn't have leadership experience and therefore didn't know how to work with Congress.
Yes, he certainly didn't lead a state to 47th in job creation.
With a bullet.
Do you get sick of these? It's so ridiculous to me, the whole president's on vacation when there's things happening. The president deserves a vacation, doesn't he? Like anybody else. I don't. Mitt Romney taxed Obama for going to Martha's Vineyard. Because he's a regular guy.
I'm sure they have telephones.
Yeah, right. You can still do stuff
exactly.
From Martha's Vineyard.
You can't really get a signal, but they do have phones at Martha's Vineyard. That's, you know, they create issues. It's the same thing you talked about. They attacked the jobs program before they even saw it. Boner's spokesperson said... we don't need more speeches. Just send us the proposal. Just put it in the mail. That was what he tweeted.
Yeah.
And the fact is, the president is saying, I'm laying out a proposal. I'm bringing it to Congress when you guys come back. And they're dismissing it out of hand because they really don't want a proposal.
By the way, Romney made that comment about the president Monday in New Hampshire, where he happens to have a $10 million lake house.
Yeah.
He was there criticizing the president's
family.
But he
lives in his basement. He lives in his son's basement.
I'm living in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. His son's unfinished basement. That's where he voted.
I live in the boathouse.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, he'll be in Martha's Vineyard the very same day as Obama doing a fundraiser.
$2,500 a person.
And he appears to be part of a tour of his former...
Persons of preparations, my friend.
Oh, good
He's also going to be in Cape Cod and also in Nantucket, hosted by one of the Koch brothers. So, you see, he's not... He's a regular guy.
A real Koch brother or a fake Koch brother who calls Scott Walker. Who's really going to be at this fundraiser?
A Koch sucker in Nantucket.
Yeah,
my
what? Real. Hey.
All righty.
Jim Louise, what... I don't understand what you mean by that. All right. Julian Seattle sends along another military birther who also hates the gays. Oh, ha-ha, his name is a variation on moron. Staff Sergeant Darren Moran. Just happens.
Sound
like
brain, Morans.
Yeah. He's apparently gone AWOL over his belief that Barack Obama was not born in the
United States.
Legitimate commander in chief. He stopped reporting for work at the Air Force Base in Germany because of his belief that Obama, quote, is an enemy and a liar. His recent background in the military includes protesting the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and getting in trouble for assailing Islam in a way that made coworkers uncomfortable. He said, I feel like I'm supporting the flag of whatever those Islamic countries are and the rainbow flag and not the red, white, and blue, you know?
No.
Yes, I do know that.
You are an
idiot. He said that on a birther radio show over the weekend. He also expressed his belief that Obama's long-form birth certificate released in April is a fake. Let her finish!
All it takes!
I miss her. Damn it.
Don't we all? Don't we need dental work?
Something.
4 out of 5 Orly dates.
She's a dentist lawyer. Dentist something.
She's
okay.
A dentist lawyer.
Oh, my goodness. The headline is Bachman poses for 2012 calendar. Oh, another opportunity for Marcus to style away.
First, let me do your hair. Okay. Here we go. Fussy. Left. Jazz hands. Spirit fingers.
Oh, the angel is in the centerfold. She will make a cameo in a 2012
crazy
calendar.
Crazy eyes. Show me crazy eyes.
Woo!
No, crazier.
Republican candidate Michelle Bachman.
Change. Bossy left.
Get spirit fingers.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Jazz hands.
That I can do.
posthumous cameo in 2012 calendar put out by a nonprofit conservative women's group, the Great American Conservative Woman Calendar, organized annually by Claire Luth-Boos. She was a hottie.
Luth-Boos Policy Institute.
Pardon me.
Okay.
Claire Booth-Boos.
Features a full-page photo on its December page. Oh, who's Miss December? Yay! Oh, it's a December pants. A Christmas pantsuit.
Barbara Bush.
What's that? I snorted. I apologize. Okay.
How much do we love Jim Ward and Harry Shearer doing a Brokaw yesterday?
Awesome.
I got to tell you.
It's inevitable.
And it happened to be on the day when Carol Lafer was alive.
Noted lesbian liberal Carol Lafer.
I know she didn't say that to her face yesterday.
Yeah.
I skipped over that part.
Yeah.
Just as if you've ever left out an L word that is for a Tom Brokaw.
That's the L word.
How would Tom Brokaw say LOL?
LOL. Laughing.
Did somebody laugh the first time they got that text from him?
Rolling on the floor laughing.
And if it's really funny,
oh, we love Tom Brokaw. We love him.
Okay.
We love him.
Oh, God, that crazy bastard Herman Cain. I love him so much. And he has something else he must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus. I need more Jesus.
I must tell Jesus.
From my fromage.
That he thinks impeaching President Obama would be a great thing to do.
Over what?
All of my trials.
Jim, this doesn't...
Doesn't matter.
No. Just cuz.
I cannot bear.
He said it would be a great thing to do, they don't ever mention what grounds exactly, but it'd be a great thing to do, but because the Senate is controlled by Democrats, we'd never be able to get the Senate first to take up that action because they simply don't care what the American public thinks.
It didn't matter the last time
they apparently tried. The American public largely wants to impeach President.
It will help me.
He did say there are a number of things where a case could be made in order to impeach Obama.
Such as?
He did not go on to mention anything. Exactly. In particular, the number of things.
That's what would have happened had the president invoked the 14th Amendment on the debt ceiling. They'd immediately impeached him in the House, and we'd have spent this entire year debating whether he had violated the Constitution. That would have been good for the country.
Yeah.
Then the Republicans never have done that for a full year before in a presidential term. They've never done that.
No wonder they must engage in dirty tricks. Can I have my fun facts music? This came up the other day. You know the number one problem in elections in the United States is people trying to impersonate Chris Lavoie by reading his name upside down.
It's more than that.
One of our right-wing callers say this voter fraud is a major problem that needs to be solved.
No, election fraud. Mm-hmm.
Voter fraud is not a problem. Here's a fun fact. More people get struck by lightning than impersonate another voter at the polls. Mm-hmm. What's really going on is that politicians who choose millionaire tax breaks over middle-class jobs don't want to face the people they represent. They're trying to roll back our right to vote so they can stay in power. If you need ID... here's another. If you need ID to buy prescription drugs or to get on an airplane, you should have show ID to vote. Photo ID laws are designed for one purpose alone, to keep people of color, students, and seniors from voting by imposing requirements they won't be able to meet. Not only do these laws take away our right to vote, they cost millions. Just saying. I just voted after Wisconsin and all that.
And
just
by the
saying,
way, speaking of...
oh, look, Chris Lavoie just got hit by lightning!
While he was voting.
Yes, or trying to vote. CommonDreams.org has reprinted Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s article from Rolling Stone in 2006. Was the 2004 election stolen?
Yes.
So we're still dealing with this stuff. Again, read Brad Blog to find out exactly how bad the problem still is.
Yep.
So voter fraud is not the problem. It's election fraud.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Chris Lavoie is raising his hand. Oh, you know what? We're out of time, but you should know that as the producer.
No.
All right, we have 10 seconds.
Yeah, we have 10 seconds. Uh-huh. I can tell you one good thing that Ron Paul supporters have done.
What?
They are running a full-page newspaper ad seeking possible Rick Perry mistresses. The headline of the ad says, "Have you ever had sex with Rick Perry?" And then it gives a contact
really?
Number.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you wow. Ron Paul stamps.
That's
have I ever mentioned how electable he is? I love him. 45 minutes after the hour, right back. With Celebrity Stack and more as we return to Bender on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey,
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, Melanie writes, Steph, I know what jazz hands are, but what are spirit fingers? Well, Melanie, it's from the movie Bring It On, the cheerleading movie, right? Spirit fingers? Yeah. Jazz hands is from the Fosse,
All that jazz.
Spirit fingers is from...
I always assumed that jazz hands were jazz hands, and then spirit fingers were jazz hands just a little wider. You know, like,
no, spirit
like
fingers, you have to wiggle your fingers
wiggle
like this. That's spirit fingers.
Okay, all right.
It's from the cheerleading movie, Bring It On. Rick Perry knows. He's a cheerleader.
You wiggle your fingers and you say boogity boogity cheese.
It's already been brought in.
Exactly. We just are saying we think Marcus Bachmann would make sure Michelle does both for her photo shoot for the calendar.
Oh, it'll be a
great
crazy
shoot. Eyes. Come on.
Crazy eyes. Crazy eyes. Jazz hands. Spirit fingers. Okay.
Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be this weekend? Where are you going to be on
Detroit!
Saturday?
Oh, thank you for asking, David Bender. I will be at the Sexy Liberal Show in Detroit with Aisha Tyler and John Fugelsang. Tickets going quick. Get it.
There are cars involved. Yeah.
That was
It's a car show. It's a car show and the Sexy Liberal Tour in Detroit all at the same time.
Do you know where I'll be in September? I will be in France, where I will be being both French and gay, because I thought, where would be the place that would piss the conservatives off the most? I know, I'll go to France.
A sommelier?
I've been wanting to for years, and I'm going. And you know why, Chris? Because something like this always happens every time I fly somewhere. Gerard Depardieu?
Yeah.
The French actor?
Yes.
He peed on a Air France flight.
Oh.
In the aisle.
Oh,
what? That's probably going to happen to me. I'm going to see. I usually fly Screaming Baby or what do you call it, Chatty Toddler Airlines.
Now it's urinating French actor Airlines.
Yeah, peeing Frenchman Airlines.
Mon Dieu.
Mon Dieu. Can I have my French music? I like when Jim always sounds like the candelabra in that movie, the animated thing. French actor Gerard Depardieu outraged passengers by urinating in the aisle of an Air France jet as it prepared to take off, forcing the plane to turn back.
Vite alors! Après moi le déluge! Vite, vite, retournez à Paris! Pas de café de Colombie!
Cul de sac!
I think that means I have to go get out of the aisle. I gotta go. A passenger on the flight said he appeared to be drunk.
Really?
You just kind of always assume he's drunk, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much all the time.
Yeah. And insisted he'd be allowed to use the bathroom during takeoff when, you know, you can't. Yeah. See, I guess, I think this is more of a lesson to Air France. When he says he has to go, he has to go. Doesn't matter if it's takeoff.
Yeah.
He was asked by a hostess to return his seat. Depardieu urinated in the aisle. Mon Dieu, indeed. J'accuse.
Dites alors.
We just wanted to do that to blurt out our bad French. Okay.
No, c'est pas vrai.
People in that area lost their general sense of ennui. They gained ennui, lost their je ne sais quoi. Okay.
Did they serve him drinks after that, though? That's
yeah, really like,
yes, probably.
All right, we cleaned it up. What would you like? I love this story. The Jersey Shore's the situation. He was offered a substantial payment to stop wearing Abercrombie & Fitch.
Yeah.
Couldn't we get me a deal like this?
I won't
stop
wear
wearing Uggs.
Yeah. Wouldn't Uggs pay me to stop wearing these? We don't want to be represented by some drunken slag staggering
you
the spinning
pay
glass.
You $1 million.
To stop it. Abercrombie & Fitch said it wants Jersey Shore's Mike the Situation Sorrentino to refrain from wearing its clothing. They offered him a substantial payment in exchange for not wearing the brand. We are deeply concerned that Mr. Sorrentino's association with our brand could cause significant damage to our image. Then we believe this association is contrary to the aspirational nature of our brand and may be distressing to many of our fans.
Distressing?
But you know what? Governor
they
Christie.
They like naked. They prefer half-naked prepubescent boys. They don't
Governor Christie is now wearing Abercrombie & Fitch, which is going to be really interesting.
Oh, wow. They make them?
No.
They have terrible.
They don't.
No,
not
no, they
at all.
Don't. Yeah,
that's
really
that's out the other one, Abercrombie & Yikes. That's a
if
different.
If your weight is in triple digits, you can't shop with Abercrombie & Fitch.
There it is.
Wow!
Actually, it's just Abercrombie now. Fitch took a hike.
Apparently. No Fitch?
No.
Was there just a husky session?
We're fitchless.
Was there a husky section that you chopped in, Chris? I forget, in Sears, where you got your tough skins?
Yes, there was. I remember my mom took us to the Sears, and the saleswoman had to whisper to my mother in the most shameful way, "I think we need to take him to the Husky section."
Husky.
And that stuck with me my entire life.
Oh,
I had to shop in the Husky section too.
There is no Husky section. There is no Chris Christie section of Abercrombie and Fitch. This is not their thing. It's not their bag.
He's a little beyond Husky.
For Chris LaVoy, they really meant hunky. They really did.
No,
they did.
I'm
saying. I'm saying.
All right. The superficial reporting: Hulk Hogan's ex says he banged a dude. Oh dear. What? Linda Hogan selling a book.
I kissed implied a girl and I Hulk banged a dude.
Implied her ex-husband Hulk Hogan carried on an intimate relationship with his best pal, Ed Brutus Beefcake Leslie.
Brutus Beefcake?
Because it's
Beefcake
weird. Leslie. Wrestling looks so straight to me. That's weird.
Brutus Beefcake. Yep.
Couldn't you do something gay just by accident in wrestling?
Well, yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Job.
I'm sorry. And
I crunched your head between my legs. Oh, look what happened.
And
okay,
what is Rick
that was
Perry's
gay
nickname again? What is it? It's Crotch.
Crotch.
Yes. Because he keeps adjusting himself, just like it's like wrestling.
Check it. The AC/DC here is launching a wine label. Why don't we have a wine label yet? AC/DC they have a new series, Wines, Highway to Hell Cabernet. Back in Black Shiraz, and You Shook Me All Night Long, Moscato. That's your crappy wine that you drink. I'm getting you some AC/DC Moscato for the next time.
I'm telling you, no matter what you do, I will never be AC/DC. Never going to happen. I don't care what wine you bring.
He drinks the cheapest, crappiest.
Shout out, Rock Liver.
No, he doesn't even like it. No, it has to be sweet.
Oh.
He's like a teenage girl. Don't you have wine coolers?
It's kind
I'm
of ironic,
sorry, the box wine lady is turning up her nose at what I drink?
Yes, I am.
Is that what's happening here?
Well, like Strawberry Hill, Boone's Farm?
You know, I like Manischewitz, okay? This is anti-Semitic. That's what this is.
All right.
Jew with a lot of E's in it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ew. Gene Simmons is a Rick Perry fan?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's no big surprise.
Really?
Yeah, he's always been kind of a right winger, I think.
I don't know. He said he will be our next president. I've never been wrong. Okay, well, if Gene Simmons says so, then I guess.
He's never been wrong.
Really? Never? Okay. Don't you love these stories and win this kind of economy? Selma Hayek says being super rich and privileged is great. She's married to a French billionaire worth $11.5 billion. She said, I never understood the point of being privileged if you don't get to have the privileges. Apparently, her billionaire husband spends $50,000 a month on their little girl. She's four, on top of lavish vacations and gifts.
Mm-hmm.
She also loves her boobs. Her famous cleavage is 100% natural, and she loves it. She said, "My boobs are not bad, by the way. I'm not complaining about them." I don't, you know, does anyone want to hear stories about really rich people that love their boobs, love their own boobs, and their own money, and spend $50,000 a month on their 4-year-old?
And they will be in the next Republican debate.
Yeah.
They've been added in.
How about this in this economy? How come some people are just winners and the rest of us are giant losers? U2's Bono makes $1 billion from Facebook.
What?
From his shares in Facebook.
What?
Oh, wow. He's already incredibly rich and then apparently
U2?
Incredibly lucky.
U2?
Et tu, Brute?
All right. That is it for our Return to Bender. Tomorrow, Republican strategist Rich Galen and Fridays with John Fugelsang. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show. Bye, Ben.
Bye-bye.